Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, gentlemen. I am thoroughly glad to be here again.
Amen. And good evening, Brother Cox. Pastor Cox, how are you?
Well, good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
And we say good evening to you. Thanks for tuning in. Well, men, I'll keep an eye out on the phone and let you know when your callers call in. And looking forward to a great broadcast.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody again for joining us this Wednesday evening. We do thank you for taking time out to be with us as we testify to the wonderful works of Jesus. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. Just about anything you need to know is there. Everything we talk about is there. Just about everything we talk about each week is there. And if you have any questions, just send an email and someone will get back with you. Or you can get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox. It is a wealth of information, nearly 40 years of battling demons and how to cast them out and help people overcome trauma. And the battle of the Holy Spirit's in there. All kinds of wealth of information is a tool to have in your arsenal. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that book, and he'll get it out to you. Pastor, here we are again. Grant, great to have you with me, and looking forward to any testimonies you have about this Monday.
Always good to be aboard, Brother Ralph. Yeah, well, you had a good evening. We had 12 that came for ministry. 12 that came, but only 10 actually received ministry. You know, I'm always telling the people, even in the very first of the meeting, that there's only one prerequisite of getting your to your goal line, of getting free of these problems that they've circled on their clipboards, and that is to want it. You know, Jesus said, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. Well, turns out that one of them, anyway, that the grandmother brought a daughter, as it turns out, that was in witchcraft, and she didn't want to change at all. She wasn't even born again. The minister that was with her, even though he talked to her about it all, and he was disappointed that he couldn't do anything with her, other than he did try to get her to Jesus, explain the gospel, but she didn't want to hear it. But nevertheless, as I told him, she had to have heard some, and she sat there during my teaching of an hour and a half about the gospel and getting born again, and of course deliverance and how to recognize evil spirits. In fact, she said to him at one point that she knew about demons, but she didn't know anything about God. Well, and of course, he really tied into that. And but so seeds were planted, nevertheless, and maybe it wasn't all in vain. I encouraged him that maybe, you know, something will come out of it later, and she'll get tired of the demons bothering her, that no doubt they are. Anybody that's in the witchcraft has got demonic activity. So, but my case was good. I ministered to a lady and had a trainee sitting in with me. In fact, that trainee will be our second caller tonight. She sat in with me and saw the ministry. I could not get the head demon up, which is usually only in one out of three. Well, she was one of the two, I guess. But I had good basic of just working her list. And while she didn't seem to feel much in the beginning, obviously, it looked like she was feeling more than, and she did take her Bible various times as instructed and touch on her body if she felt something going on. And one time, the minister that's calling in on the second caller, she had her Bible also touching on the lady, and one time, maybe it's more than once, she pushed the Bible away. Well, that wasn't the woman, obviously. That was a manifestation. So we knew we were scoring, and sure enough, as we got to finally to the end, especially the latter part, we seemed to really hit on some big ones that she felt for sure. And we start seeing this different look. When she came in, she was kind of withdrawn, and her voice was real low. I could hardly hear her ever speak up. And just kind of withdrawn-like and depressed. Well, as we got right at the end, finally, of working the whole list, she's outgoing now. She's vivacious. Her voice is up and louder. And she looked about 20 years younger. So, you know, at times it may not look like nothing's happening, but it did through the evening. Hallelujah. And she, of course, said she felt great and lighter and all that. So it turned out good after all.
Well, praise the Lord. And it is so much more enjoyable when you have a deliverance where you get those kind of results and immediately happen. Because it lets you know you're getting progress. I mean, when you see them, when they first come in, they're slumped down in a chair, and you'll see them as they go through. They'll start sitting up straighter. They'll have a smile on their face, and it's just absolutely wonderful to see the transformation in front of you. But we've also got to understand that that's not always the case we see. But when we're speaking the word, performing the word, going through the prayers, they're going through the prayers. Something is happening. It's happening supernaturally. And just like when Jesus cursed the tree, they didn't see immediate results because it started from the roots walking up. So it seems to me that if we cast these spirits out and we cast these problems and heal these traumas, we're getting to the root problem. so we won't always see it because it has to have time to manifest itself out. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's awesome.
Well, it does seem to be the majority of people that do look better, I'd say. It must be in the, certainly the 75, 80, 85% range. They do look much better at the end of the evening. You know, time we go through all that teaching, the door-closing prayer, breaking of ungodly soul ties, dealing with the traumas of the past, and where Jesus takes the feelings associated with those traumas, working the list. I mean, I must have come against, 50, 75 different things on the list that she'd circled, and then those that have asterisks that are tip-off to the minister to be sure and address, because they're usually there in the Christian that we're ministering to. So, you know, it's satisfying, even though it doesn't look like a whole lot with some people, they seem to all look better, and that's what drives us on to keep doing it.
Yes, amen. Amen. Well, to kind of get off subject, but it's still in the subject, last night I was reading Colossians, and you know, as I was reading it, Pastor, there is a lot of I ams in that book. A lot of I ams. And as I was reading it, I'd read it, I'd stop, and say, that's an I am, and I would go back and I'd speak it out loud. And I just want to encourage everybody out there to revisit the book of Colossians and see if you can see those in there. Like, here's one right out of the first chapter, verse 12. I am qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. And verse
hallelujah.
Yeah, verse 22. I am being presented holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Chapter 1, verse 28. I am complete in Christ. Now that is a heck of a promise there. That is just,
amen.
They promised. That's a heavenly promise. I mean, we are complete in Christ. The thought of that,
yes.
they present every man complete in Christ.
That's in Colossians 2, I remember. We're complete
in Him.
Well,
it's actually, there's actually several, I think it's two or three times it says that. And, you go to verse 3, I've got some highlighted. I am being renewed to the true knowledge. And, And that, to me, just, you know, it speaks volumes of the will, too. So there is quite a few, there's quite a few I ams in the book of Colossians, and I just encourage everybody out there, as we always revisit the I ams. I ams have been a good, solid teaching of this ministry long before we met Pastor Cox, and Pastor Cox had a lot of the same teachings in it, and it is so necessary to have those I ams to keep a hold of your deliverance and to speak those positives. You're fighting the enemy when you say these things. And as I go through the Bible now and I see them, I notice them and I say them out loud. And I did highlight a few, but I've got so much of Colossians highlighted. It's one of my favorite books. I am being firmly rooted and now being built up in Him. And, there's another promise there. That's in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 7. And I just, after I read it, I was speaking to them, I was on top of the world last night.
who wouldn't want to beat their chest after reading who they are in Jesus?
I know. And it's so much easier to say those things than to say the negatives, which, for deliverance, those negatives are there.
Ralph, I've had when a demon's manifesting and talking out of the person's mouth, I've had them say, "Who are you?" Well, I'm armed and ready to tell them. And after I start quoting the scriptures of who I am, yeah. Jesus, they don't bring it up after that.
Well, it's true. They recognize when they see someone in their authority in Jesus. I've had them try to intimidate me and trick me, and I've laughed at them, and it's like, well, that's not true.
That's right.
Well,
Those are the lies of the enemy, the other.
It is. It is lies of the enemy. And you know, when you do take someone through the head demon technique, I couldn't think of the name of it, and you have them tell their lies. I've worked with some people that I knew fairly well, and as they were speaking those lies, I had heard every one of those come out of some of their mouths at one time or another. And it's so easy when you've got that voice whispering in your ear, and realizing that spirits can affect you as a Christian, that you can be kind of a Debbie Downer towards yourself, and it will have you speak the negatives when we know that the opposite is true in Christ. So if I am if I am being made complete in Christ, the opposite would be a lie. If I am being firmly rooted and being built up in Christ, then the opposite would be a lie. And that's just something that really came to me last night as I was thinking. I mean, if I'm being presented to Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, then if the enemy says something different than that, then that's a lie. And I just want to encourage people again to visit the I Am. Either get you an I Am confessional from Scripture for America, which you can get that by calling Richard. If you don't have it, he'll certainly send it out to you, 307-742-7582. If you do have it, blow some dust off of it, open it back up, and start reading them again. Or if you don't want to wait till then, go to the website at deliveranceusa.com. Because the I Ams are there. And what's on the website's not as comprehensive as what Scriptures for America's little booklet has. I think your yellow sheet might even have a little bit more than what's on the website. But they're still sufficient for the spiritual battle, the maintaining of your deliverance, and just working towards a better walk in Jesus.
Amen. When a Christian speaks the truth of the Word, it performs itself.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Well, Pastor, we have Scott on the line. Scott, thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, no problem at all, guys.
Yeah, Scott, thank you for calling in. This is Everett. Appreciate it, and excited to hear, give some history on yourself there, Scott, and when you were born again, and how you learned about deliverance, and then what your experience has been, and any changes that you've seen in the deliverance, and many other experiences to share. So, why don't you go right ahead, Scott?
My history has been, I was raised a Christian, non-denominational, and I haven't really been close to God for a while. I've always preached it. I read the Bible every once in a while, and went to church every once in a while. And I have a great friend named Nathan Ferulli. I've always been pretty good friends with him I've been good friends with him for about 5 to 6 years now, and he just recently got saved himself, so that's a great thing. And he found the deliverance ministry, and he invited me, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little skeptical at first. I'm not a huge into trying new things. I like habits. I'm not gonna fib about that. But I'm very glad I did. I'm very glad I went. And I live in Okmulgee, Oklahoma, and the deliverance ministry was in Oklahoma City. So if anybody understands that drive is a good hour and a half, 2 hour drive. And he came and picked me up, and I went, and it was really, honestly, it was a real eye opening experience for me. Some of the things that were pointed out and whatnot, but yeah, it was a great experience. I loved it, and I would recommend it to anybody.
Praise God. When you came, you filled out that problem list, and course, we went through the teaching and all, and then you were placed with a minister. And so as he got into breaking ungodly soul ties and doing inner healing on traumas of the past and working the list, did you feel anything going on? How do you know any spirits came out?
You know, that's an interesting question. Yes, we went through a long list and a very specific list, and I felt relieved. I felt it was almost like taking down a wall. If that makes any sense, it was taking bricks of pressure off of me, and then it's quite hard to describe. To be quite honest, it feels like I was becoming more and more at peace. Layers were taking off.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen some changes in the problems you marked on the list?
Yes. A big problem I've been having is worry. Just always worrying about what's the next step. Confusion, not having, that good strong faith. What am I going to do after college? Am I going to get this intern? Am I going to do this? What's going to happen after that? And I've been really keeping in mind what was said, and I felt a complete different after. I haven't been worrying as much, and I'm not gonna stay here and fib to you that worries don't try to come back. I shut that
right
down. Go ahead.
Awesome. How about the addiction, Scott? Have you seen changes there?
Addiction?
I noticed. The alcohol and all that?
Well, I wasn't, I'd broken the addiction to alcohol and et cetera, et cetera, for a little while now, but it did help me kind of reaffirm that, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Awesome. And I noticed you had fear on the list. How about the fear? Are you doing better there?
Yeah, I felt... it tied in with a lot of worry. All those negative feelings that, drive from, worry, stress, fear, not understanding, confusion. I felt all of that really be lifted after. And like I was saying, it's not like those feelings don't try to come back. A pastor a while ago always said, it's a battle every day. A battle won if you choose to, have that faith and that connection. And I'm not saying it's always going to be a walk in the park, but it says in the Bible you must endure and you must have faith. It's been great.
Praise God. Well, we're always trying to get across like that Luke 10:19. I don't know if you've memorized that yet, but that's the one where, in Jesus' name, we have power over all the enemy, and even a promise that nothing will harm us. And when we say that out loud, it tends to keep the spirits at bay, we've seen. It's obvious that they don't want to hear a Christian say it. So if anything might try to come back, as the Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee, and of course that's the way you resist in Jesus' name. So it sounds like you're getting a handle on it and kind of learning how.
Yeah, I'm actually to kind of add on to that. I have an intern, so pray for me, guys. I have an intern interview coming up this Friday, and I've been stressing out about it. This is kind of the fork in the road where I'm going to take my college career at this point. And, I called my friend Nathan, I mentioned earlier, and, And I said, you know, can you pray for me? And he said, well, why don't you pray out loud? He says, it sounds like you're fighting worry. Why don't you take worry and you pray that, you know, it will not affect you in Jesus Christ's name. And so, you know, I prayed out loud with him on the phone, and I prayed out loud, you know, after. And, you know, it really has settled me down. You know, of course, I know God's will be done, but I have great faith that what his will be done, and that's what I prayed for. So it really did subside that worry and that stress of what is going to happen, you know. So.
Praise God. Another thing that's really good, when you've got something like stress bothering you, there's something supernatural about actually handing that stress over to Jesus. Some people, when that stress is on them, they actually feel that stress kind of balled up inside of them. And one technique is to take a hand as a spiritual hand and spiritual fingers and go on the inside of you, where it's usually in the stomach areas, where most of us, it can be other places, but that's probably the typical. And just believe you can go on the inside of you with those spiritual fingers and hands, get hold of that stress, pull it out and hand it up to Jesus. And there's supernatural things that seem to happen when we do that. Have you tried that yet?
I have not, no.
It's a kind of a thing that we do in the inner healing, of taking bad feelings that we identify with whatever's going on, and then if you do feel them inside of you, which many people do, just kind of balled up right in their gut or up in their heart area, and take that spiritual hand and fingers and go in there and get hold of it and pull it out and hand it to Jesus. And what's amazing to all of it, Jesus supernaturally takes those bad feelings. It's an amazing thing that the Lord has given us this power to actually give them over to Jesus like that. So that'd be something to work on. And also, there's another scripture that you might want to think about, Scott, and that's Luke 12:12. My co-host, Ralph, up in the Branson area, and I often talk about this one, but Luke 12:12 is where we read that the Holy Spirit will give us what to say that very hour. So when you go for that interview, pray that, and even look it up in the scriptures, Luke 12:12, easy to remember. And just, I do that. I did it before the show tonight and asked the Holy Spirit, you said, use it a lot. And sure enough, he does. He'll guide us. And that's something to get hold of as well there, Scott.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll definitely look into that.
Yeah, it's an awesome scripture. I've used it all my life. Well, I say, since I learned about it, which has been, I guess, close to 4 decades ago now. And it sure is good to have. I mean, who doesn't need supernatural intervention sometimes? We just ignore
right?
a lot of things.
You're right.
But the Lord is there with us, and he's there with you to help you as needed.
A good thing, too, Scott, and we actually discussed this before you came on, is use your I Ams. So when you're feeling that worry,
yes.
Before you go into the interview, you can repeat the scriptures of Philippians 4:13, I am able to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And I will declare that often when I know that I have a what to me would seem like a tough situation, and or I have to speak before people. I was saying that quite often a little over a month ago when I had to preach my nephew's funeral. I'm able to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, and in that very hour, the Holy Spirit will teach what you ought to say. And that's in Luke 12:12. And he saw me through that. It was very tough, and I did have some anxiety. I got on the phone with Pastor Cox, and we cast that spirit away, that spirit of anxiety away. But it's the same principle, just with you. It happens to be this interview coming up. So forbid the enemy from operating against you that day. Take captive your thoughts, the obedience of Jesus, and then say these scriptures when the enemy comes against you, and also handing it over to Jesus really works.
Well, I appreciate
it,
guys.
Did you get the yellow handout? Did you get the yellow handout with the IMs on it?
I sure did.
Good. So that's really great what Ralph is talking about. Every time I read them, I want to beat my chest afterwards because it's who I am in Jesus, and, of course, it's who you are. But it's something for it to work. You need to say them out loud, and that's how supernaturally it'll perform itself. And the more you say those I ams, the more it'll soak down into your spirit man inside and become part of you.
Right.
I'd speak 5 in the morning and 5 in the evening, and if you feel that coming on, speak 5 more. You can't really speak them enough.
Right.
Amen. Well, Scott, are you sharing about this deliverance to any of your friends yet?
Not to you yet. I mean, I have discussed of what happened and what I feel was helpful, but I haven't really. Well, I guess I have shared. I guess I would be sharing. I guess that is the definition of sharing.
Praise God.
But the biggest witness will be when they see the change in you.
Yes. That is a testimony in itself. Of course, when they just see you, so often we see people look younger. Of course, you're young anyway, but they look different, and they look happier. I ministered to a 10-year-old a couple of weeks ago, and his great-grandma keeps telling me how he's so happy now. So that's part of it, you know, in getting a Jesus overhaul. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Scott, in the remaining minutes, do you have anything else you'd like to share or tell the listeners?
I just think, you know, faith is a huge thing, and especially for a lot of younger generation, we fight a lot of anxiety, and I feel that we need to have more faith as a collective. You know, it's not good to have anxiety and stress and whatnot, and I think that's something I've been working on, and I think a lot of my generation and just and people in general. We don't need to worry about what happens in the next day or in the next hour or in the next few minutes, but just to be content in the world God has given us and to really understand that whatever is going to happen in this is His will, and that we need to feel secure into that, and to take any of those negative thoughts and do lead them at the feet of Jesus. I really do feel that that is a really big problem with a lot of people, including myself. It is a working effort. It will always be a working effort. That's all I have.
Well, that's really good, God. And, of course, as we learn, these evil spirits, just because you've had deliverance once doesn't mean you've had a fix for the rest of your life, because if you're alive
right. And
on earth until you go to heaven, these spirits will be making runs at you. And that's why it's important to learn that Luke 10:19. Yeah, and use that power you've been given from the cross in Jesus' name, all power, if you use it, and resisting a lot of things that come at you. Could even be the name of a spirit, just like there can be a spirit of stress, anxiety, and all that. So it's good to be suspicious and renounce and rebuke anything like that going on as a possible spirit. If you use that power, it'll blow off usually in 2 or 3 commands. Thank you, Scott, for sharing, brother, and God bless you. And I'll
God bless
you, to see you again. Tell Nathan hi.
No, I will. You guys have a blessed night.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, Pastor, I don't know how young he is. He's at college age, and he did really speak in a nutshell what's been happening to our youth today, because they do have so much anxiety. They are being bombarded by the enemy through media, through lies, that the world's going to end. We don't have enough food. Don't have children. All these things are just being bombarded against our youth, and they're nothing but lies from the enemy. And anxiety is becoming a huge problem in the younger generation.
Yeah, I think more so than when I was in college. I mean, I had anxiety about the grades and, you know, studying and trying to get it down. Maybe I had more anxiety and stress than I realized, but it didn't seem like it was that bad looking back, but maybe it was. But praise God, if you can learn these principles early in your life,
amen,
it's marvelous.
Amen. That's right. Pastor, we have Dana. Dana, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for letting me join you today. Glad to be here.
No,
yes,
problem.
Dana. Thank you for calling
in. Hi, Everett.
In. And why don't you... Hi. Why don't you go ahead, Dana, and just give some background on yourself and history. And
okay.
You were born.
All right. Wonderful. So, I was born and raised in Oklahoma, and a really kind of troubled upbringing. Lots of different things going on, and my mother was a Catholic and my father was a Methodist, but we didn't really go to church, and you know, they left it up to us to figure out what we wanted to do. So when I was 24, I had moved to Dallas and became familiar with the born-again Christian church, and I was born again in 1984 at 22. And the challenge I had, I was so on fire for God, I would just want to go and tell everybody about Jesus at that time, and then I was confronted with a lot of resistance. So one of the challenges was although I was a born again Christian, there wasn't any discipleship, or I had never even heard of deliverance ministry or knowing that I needed to. I thought I was born again and that was all I needed to do, not knowing that there was stuff that I needed to work through, or issues, so forth and so on. So I, at some point, had moved to San Francisco, California. So it was like for the next 20 years I was roaming around in the desert, floundering, and really lost touch with my Christian roots. Now, as I look back, I can see that God never let go of me, and he never let me stray too far. But I fell into addiction, and I found recovery, but I never found my way back to Jesus. So in August of 2005, I moved back to Oklahoma, and then in December I had been married and divorced twice in those 20 years, and in December 31st, 2005, I met my current husband, Ivan, and he had been a pastor. He wasn't pastoring a church now, but he was a pastor for a Pentecostal church, and So in January of 2006, I rededicated myself to Christ, and then we were going to a Pentecostal church, and it was new for me for people to speak in tongues. I had never been exposed to that, and then one night, lo and behold, I started speaking in tongues. So, and then from that day on, it just came natural. So, you know, we did a lot in that 10 years, but I never knew about deliverance. And my husband and I were having issues. He was no longer, it seemed like he got caught up into some doctrine with Christian faith, and it pulled him away from his faith. And with that entered a lot of strife and disagreement and hardship in our marriage, and a lot of bitterness and anger and rage and all of that, where actually we had separated and he wasn't. I had kicked him out, so to speak, and he had come to your deliverance ministry in September of 2016. And when he came over after that meeting, or he phoned me first, and then he came over the next day, and he was like a changed man. I saw the true essence of who he was. All of his bitterness and anger and all of that was gone. He had such a soft heart, and he looked different. And of course he said I should go too, and of course I didn't think I needed to go because I thought he had all the issues and I didn't have any. So I got the courage to go about a week or two later, and it happened for me too. I had no idea what deliverance was. I was really very frightened to go in. And then I met this beautiful, lovely woman who ministered to me and helped me with so much of the issues of the problem sheet that you give, and I think I circled everything. So we worked on that, and the miracle of that is that our relationship was restored, I'd say 80% of the issues that we had were just gone. And then we were left with some real things that we needed to work through, but we were able to do that as a result of coming to the deliverance ministry. So I went another time, to kind of work on more stuff, and then a year later I went again. And then my sister came to visit in July of 2018, and she went. And then I came again a year later in September, and I have a note here last year where I said, maybe I should do the training. And I realized that's what I wanted to do, was to go into the deliverance training. So that's kind of my background.
Well, praise God. Oh, glory.
Very praise God. I mean, it's awesome. Been a life changer. It's like I see life through new eyes now. And I can read the Bible now and it makes sense. There's like a new understanding. It's like having a new pair of glasses or something. It's just incredible. And the softening of heart and the patience and the understanding. And now it feels like I have tools to use in life. You know, I can say, oh, wow, I am in so much. I can feel it if I've gone into unforgiveness. And then, you know, I just pray, I repent, and I pray, and it's like the heart softens again. And now I have such a hunger to want to share it with whomever is, you know, also wants it. And to not, and to understand what deliverance means. I guess that word, the enemy doesn't really want us to know what that word means, you know. It wants to make it sound like it's a really scary thing to go through. So.
Yes, and there wasn't anything scary about going through, was it?
No, absolutely nothing. The scariest thing was driving there. And it wasn't really scary because God, he had me. He had me there. But it was just the unknown of not knowing. And my sister had the same thing. And I just encouraged her. I said, it's okay. I said, I know that you're probably a little nervous. I said, but it's really okay. These people, the women and the men, I worked with a woman. They will just minister to you, and it's okay. You know, they have the heart of Jesus.
Yes, we've had numerous people tell us how they'd even drive around the block numerous times. In fact, recently, I now remember there was a man that told me he tried to come for a year, and he finally made it. And then I remember
another
person said they got up to the door, but they couldn't open it. You know,
isn't that amazing? Yes, there's just so many thoughts that come to mind, and I just don't think I know little more and more people are beginning to recognize what this is and how it can help. But boy, it takes courage to walk through the door. It really does. But once you're through it, there's nothing.
No,
I mean, it's so beautiful, Everett. Really beautiful.
Those spirits are often talking in the person's ear, you know, don't go there for obvious reasons. They don't want to be foreclosed, you know.
No, they don't. Exactly. And all those thoughts and things that I wasn't equipped with knowing how to recognize that that thought isn't of God and Jesus, that that was the enemy. You know, I thought it was truth. So, you know, when it's saying that something bad's going to happen to you, I would believe it. You know, so.
Yes. And Dana, you were saying when you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was exactly my experience. I was shy and not outgoing about the Lord. I was with other things, but not about the gospel. But when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, as I often tell people, had I not received that, actually 41 years ago now, that I would not be standing there in front of them, you know, on Monday night, and I wouldn't have ever formed Deliverance Ministries. That was the difference. I am so
grateful for that Pentecostal
like
church
you.
That I was raised in a Methodist upbringing, and they all kind of, the churches I went to anyway, prayed very quietly and very conservatively, and you never spoke up and you know, when they're doing their services. And then I go to this church and everybody's praying at the same time and people are in tongues, and I'm so grateful to have had that opened up for me and to be able to speak in tongues, to pray in tongues, and to have that Holy Spirit.
In Deliverance, Dana, you probably noticed we pray with our eyes open.
Yes.
We keep our eyes open so we can see what's going on as we're addressing these evil spirits, in case one should try to, that sometimes it's rare, but occasionally if you do enough of these, you'll have a demon that starts to get violent, and if that happens, you can immediately say, in Jesus' name, be still. I learned that 41 years ago.
Well, you know, and I've not always closed my eyes when I've prayed forever. That's interesting. And I did notice that prayer, and that makes a lot of sense.
And you probably noticed we never hold anybody at Deliverance Ministries. The angels hold them.
They do.
You probably
absolutely
noticed that.
Amen.
We don't have people holding anyone. The angels hold them, and all you got to do is say, "Violence, be still." Jesus' name.
Amen.
Still.
Yes,
and,
I could.
And they can't
that,
move.
Yes, amen. Because I never felt fearful or anything going through, and that's what I guess I had imagined in my mind for delivering. You know, I would kind of picture what does that mean. In fact, my husband, he's from South Africa, and when he was in South Africa, he was in the Deliverance Ministry there. He has all sorts of stories with those spirits over there. There's voodoo is really active there, and I just had all sorts of imaginations of what Deliverance would be like, and there's just such a peace about it, because
if you don't do the door closing prayer, you will have more heavy manifestations, and that was our experience early on. Until we started developing this door-closing prayer, which I think is our greatest contribution to the body of Christ, because that's why we go home quicker, and there's seldom an outcry even. It does happen, but it's rare.
I agree. That's why it felt the safety. I mean, it just felt at peace, and I felt safe. You know, there wasn't any... I just felt, I don't have the right words for it, but I think you understand what I'm saying. I think you're right. I think because after you do the door closing prayer, it's like, okay, I'm done. I'm going. I'm good. I'm healed. There's more? Wow. There's more.
Some people have some level of deliverance take place just in the door closing prayer.
Yes.
Well, you're going through the training now, and that's exciting, and you sat in with me this last Monday night. What were your impressions of the case that we had?
Say that one more time again.
Monday night, when you sat in with me last Monday, what were your impressions with the lady that we ministered to?
Yes. So, I have so many things I've reflected on since that. I mean, I could actually see the deliverance taking place. and I could, and the countenance and the just as the person came in for deliverance was kind of hardened and kind of reserved and closed off, and then as she was able to let go and cast out all these demons that she had in her, her whole countenance changed. She softened. She was glowing. She looked younger. She just came alive. It was just so, it was really amazing to witness that. And to also witness the enemy not wanting to come out, like jerking a little bit, not wanting to come out on certain things. And then you just put the Bible on the body, and it just comes. It was just incredible, Everett. It was a very honor to be able to participate in that process.
Dana, what did you think about the time that the demon tried to push the Bible away?
It just happened. And then afterwards, when you mentioned it, and then the person who was being delivered didn't even realize that happened, it was like, wow. I don't have words for it ever. It was just amazing, you know. How it would resist, and at one point it even moved to the feet. It's like, okay, well, they're just going to touch my chest and stomach. I'll move to the feet. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Praise God.
It was that actually happened a couple of times, and we were coming against a demon, and you put the Bible over on her chest. And she took her hand and tried to push it away.
She did.
It was obviously
really strongly. It was a strong effort to try and push it away.
Yes.
And then afterwards, we asked her how that was, and she said, "Well, I really felt a letting go on that one, on that particular one." She said, "She felt. You remember that, Everett?" She said, "I really felt a letting go.
Yeah.
I felt it leave."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So it was obvious she was getting a Jesus overhaul. It was a little slow going at first. It was a little and nothing much going on, it seemed. But as we worked about halfway through the list, I couldn't get the head demon up with her. But as we worked about halfway through the list, we started seeing the changes. And she was feeling them then. Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. Like,
great.
For me, I was probably the same way in the beginning, so unsure. So I came back another time and did some more work. And then then the following year I came with my sister. And all those efforts just helped continue to give deliverance in areas that I didn't even know I still needed deliverance on. You know, so I come up against something and it's like, oh gosh, I think I need some deliverance there. So I'm grateful to learn how in the training to begin to learn how to continue to help myself with my own deliverance, but also to be able to minister and help others find that freedom as well.
Amen. Well, it's high adventure, and I just praise God over and over, Dana, that somebody shared this with me. I could have missed it, and I would have missed 41 years of fulfillment and being on a huge high all the time.
It is a huge high, Everett. Ever since I came on, it was three or four weeks ago on that Monday night. It's like I'm on super drive, and the slumberness, like the. I'm so hungry to read, and I'm just hungry for it.
Praise God. Well, you'll make a great deliverance minister. I'm so excited that you're going through this. As you know, we need an army, and you'll be a good one.
No, there's been such a need and such a turnout on Monday night. And the training is really good. It does equip us with and then to be around other people that also are understanding deliverance, and
yes,
and it's just like a new community or something. I don't, a new family, a new body of Christ that
well,
I didn't know. I didn't even know existed.
People.
So
you're with people.
I'm very excited.
You can talk freely. You don't have to hold back in talking around deliverance ministers. Amen.
Amen.
You can
exactly.
Talk freely.
It's speaking exactly. There's no holding back. Although sometimes now I find I'm not holding back. Like I went to my son's. Something happened with my son where they were at school giving him yoga, and I said, "Oh, please, no yoga." You know, it's like, and then they say, "Why?" So I'm in deliverance ministry, and I don't want you opening any doors for attacks. And they said, "Okay, fine." I don't know if they even really heard me, but they said, "Okay, no yoga for your son." Like, thank you.
Yes, that was good. Praise God for that. Well, in the remaining minute, Dana, what else would you say to the people before we wind up?
Well, I just want to say that if anybody's out there and they're having any kind of issues, there's a problem sheet that's given, you know, whether it's bitterness or fear or heaviness, or you're caught into addictions, or you're unsure of your faith, or you have doubt, just anything that's just not working in your life, you're depressed, to come to Deliverance Ministry and let these ministers minister to you, and it's life-changing and life-freeing and life-affirming.
Yes.
Amen.
And living life abundant.
And life abundant.
Life abundant at last.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dana, thank you so much. That was a wonderful testimony for sharing, and I'm looking forward to working with you more down at on Monday night. And God bless
you.
Thank you for coming on.
I'm right there, Everett, and I appreciate the opportunity to you know, glorify God and share my testimony, and maybe something I said might help somebody else and encourage them to find freedom through deliverance as well. Amen.
Yes. Well, bye-bye. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes,
God
good night.
Bless you.
Wonderful testimony. It's just
yeah.
Awesome to hear a marriage that was saved through the process, because there's a lot of marriages that are destroyed because that's the enemy's assignment, to come and kill, steal, and destroy the basic family, the basic unit of Christianity is the family. And if they didn't get
well, Ralph,
a wife in disagreement, it's
Ralph,
it's
if each spouse has 36 demons, which is typical,
yes.
How's the marriage?
Yeah. Amen on that.
It could be better.
Well, yes, it could be. Well, we do thank everybody again for joining us this evening. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday. I'm sorry, next Wednesday. Some of us will see you on Sunday because of church. But if you have any questions about Deliverance, deliveranceusa.com, or call Richard at the office, 307-742-7582, and order the book, The Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. We just want to say God bless, good evening, and we'll see you next week.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
Overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.